Ever wonder how those algorithms seem to know you better than you know yourself? Like, seriously, how do they do that?
It can be a bit unnerving sometimes, right?
Yeah, like they're reading my mind or something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today's deep dive is all about one of the tricks of the trait ensemble learning. And it's not as complicated as it sounds.
No, in fact, it's actually a very intuitive idea.
Oh, good. I like those. So we're diving into this document all about ensembles, what they are, why they work, and how to actually use them.
And it all starts with a simple idea. A group of minds working together can often outperform even the smartest individual.
Okay, so like that old saying, two heads are better than one.
Exactly. Except in machine learning, it's more like a bunch of algorithms are better than one.
Right. Instead of one single model trying to do it all, we've got a whole team of them. But why is that so powerful?
Imagine you're trying to predict something complex, like, say, stock prices.
High stakes.
Definitely. You wouldn't want to base your investment decisions on a model that's about as accurate as flipping a coin, right?
Talk about a stressful game of heads or tails.
Mm.
So accuracy is important, no surprises there. But this document we're looking at, it says that even models with just okay accuracy, they can become surprisingly good when they team up. How does that work?
Let's say you've got three models, each predicting with, say, about 66% accuracy. Not bad, but not exactly Wall Street gurus either.
Not quite Warren Buffett.
Right. But the source points out that if you combine these models in an ensemble, their combined accuracy can jump to almost 75%.
Wait, hold on. I need a second to process that. It's like taking a group of C students and somehow getting an A plus on a group project.
It does seem counterintuitive, doesn't it?
It really does. So how is that even possible?
Diversity, that's the secret sauce. The magic happens when the individual models make different kinds of errors. It's like having a team where one person is really good at spotting overall trends, another is a whiz with financial statements, and a third has a knack for like predicting market sentiment, you know, the feelings, the vibe.
Interesting.
They each might have their blind spots, but together they cover more ground.
So it's not just about the number of models, but how different they are.
Exactly.
This diversity helps them cover for each other's weaknesses, kind of like fill in the gaps.
You've got it. That's the beauty of ensemble learning.
Okay, but this whole wisdom of the crowd thing, it's kind of like it only works if the crowd isn't just blindly following each other, Renat.
Exactly. You've hit a really important point.
What's to stop our ensemble from making the same mistakes as a single model, just like on a larger scale?
That's where independent errors come in. This idea is key. Think of it this way. If you train all the models in your ensemble on the same data, and that data has flaws, they'll all inherit the same biases, make the same mistakes.
Right.
So just like a team of analysts all relying on a report with bad data, they might feel really confident, but they'd all be wrong together.
Oh, that's a scary thought. It's like a false sense of security almost.
Exactly. The ensemble might give you a very precise but completely inaccurate prediction. This is why diversity in both the models and their training data is essential. It's not enough to just throw more models at the problem. They need to be looking at it from different angles, with fresh perspectives, different information.
So it's not just about quantity, it's about quality too. Making sure our models are like well-rounded individuals.
I like how you put that. Well-rounded models are key.
In this document we're looking at, it actually highlights a few situations where ensembles don't work well or can even make things worse, which it seems kind of counterintuitive, right?
It does, it does. But it highlights how important those conditions we talked about really are.
So could you walk us through some of those scenarios, you know, just so we know what to watch out for?
Certainly. One example from the source, it involves these three classifiers, and each one has an accuracy of about 50%.
Okay, so 50%, that's like basically a coin toss.
Pretty much.
You're not really predicting anything at that point, you're just guessing.
And you'd be right. When these weak classifiers are combined into an ensemble, the overall accuracy doesn't improve. It's stuck at 50%. So the source really emphasizes if your individual models aren't better than random guessing, the ensemble won't magically change that. You need a foundation of individual competence to build on.
Right, okay, so a baseline level of accuracy is super important. But there's another situation this document mentions, and it's where ensembles can actually hurt performance. Is that like a thing?
It is, and it might sound counterintuitive, but it's important to understand. Imagine those same classifiers, but now they're even worse. Each one has an accuracy of only about 33%, which is actually worse than random chance.
Ouch, yeah, that's gonna hurt.
And to make matters worse, when you combine these already bad classifiers into an ensemble, the accuracy plummets even further to about 26%.
Hold on, wait. They're worse together than they are apart.
It sounds crazy, but that's what can happen.
How is that even possible?
It all comes back to those independent errors we talked about earlier. In this case, the classifiers are all making the same wrong guesses, like they're stuck in the same rut. Their errors are highly correlated.
So instead of those errors canceling each other out, they're actually, what, amplified by the ensemble?
That's exactly it. It's like that old saying, if you put 1,000 monkeys at 1,000 typewriters, you'll get 1,000 copies of Hamlet, but with a lot of typos.
Huh.
You might have a lot of output, but it doesn't mean it's good output.
Definitely not.
And that's why the quality of your individual models and the diversity of their errors is absolutely crucial when building these ensembles.
This is all starting to make a lot more sense. We've talked about why ensembles work and the potential pitfalls to watch out for, but now I'm really curious about the how. How do we actually build these diverse, powerful ensembles in the real world? Like, what are the steps involved? So we've talked about the why nots, all that good stuff.
Yeah.
But let's get down to brass tacks here. How do we actually build these ensembles? What are the tools, the strategies, the like secret handshakes of ensemble building?
Well, luckily for us, there are no secret handshakes involved.
Okay, good to know.
The document we've been looking at, it actually lays out a few common approaches, and they're surprisingly intuitive. One strategy is called heterogeneous ensembles, which I know it sounds kind of intimidating.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's actually a very simple idea.
Okay, good. I like those. Lay it on me.
Instead of using like multiple copies of the same model type, you combine models built with completely different algorithms. Think of it like assembling a team with specialists from different fields, each bringing their unique skills to the table.
I like that. So instead of putting all your eggs in one basket, you're diversifying your model portfolio.
Exactly. You might have your good old reliable decision trees, but you also bring in a neural network, maybe even a support vector machine, just to cover all the bases.
So we're talking about a real motley crew of algorithms here, each with their own strengths, their own way of looking at the data.
Precisely. And that's where the power comes from, this diversity of perspectives. It allows the ensemble to learn more complex patterns, to make more robust predictions.
So heterogeneous ensembles, check. What other tricks do we have up our sleeves?
Another really powerful technique focuses on the data itself. Instead of feeding the entire data set to every model, you create multiple variations of it.
Oh, interesting. So we're talking about like slicing and dicing the data in different ways.
You got it. You could use different subsets of the examples, different combinations of the features, or even engineer completely new features based on what you already have.
So it's like giving each model a slightly different piece of the puzzle to work with, right?
Exactly. This encourages the models to specialize in different aspects of the problem, which again leads to greater diversity and robustness in the overall ensemble.
Makes sense. Makes sense. And I'm guessing this ties back to that whole independent errors thing we talked about earlier.
Absolutely. By training on different slices of the data, the models are less likely to make the same mistakes. They're forced to learn different things, to see the problem from different angles.
Okay, so we've got diverse models, diverse data. Anything else we can do to really shake things up in the world of ensemble learning?
One more technique I want to highlight, and it might sound a bit counterintuitive at first, but it involves deliberately introducing randomness into the training process.
Really? Randomness? I thought in machine learning we were always trying to eliminate randomness, make things as precise as possible.
Usually, yes. But sometimes a little bit of controlled chaos can be a good thing.
Okay, I'm intrigued. Tell me more about this controlled chaos.
One of the most popular techniques that does this is called random forests. Have you heard of those?
I have. I think so. They sound kind of familiar, but to be honest, I'm not entirely sure how they work.
They're based on decision trees, but with a twist. During the training process, each tree in the forest is only allowed to see a random subset of the features.
So it's like each tree is getting a slightly different and incomplete view of the data.
Exactly. This prevents the trees from becoming too similar, too correlated in their predictions. It forces them to explore different patterns, different relationships between the features, and that leads to a more diverse, more robust ensemble overall.
It's like that old saying, can't see the forest for the trees.
Uh-huh. Well, in this case, it's more like can't see the forest without all these different trees.
Right, because each one is seeing something unique, something valuable.
Exactly. And the document also mentions another technique called gradient boosting, which, like random forests, has become super popular. It works by training models sequentially, one after another, with each new model trying to correct the errors made by the previous ones.
So it's like you've got this team of experts, and they're each taking a pass at the problem, refining the solution with every iteration.
A perfect analogy. And it's incredibly effective. Gradient boosting is used in so many different machine learning applications these days.
We've covered a lot of ground today. Ensemble learning, it's not just about throwing more algorithms at a problem. It's about understanding their strengths, their weaknesses, and how they can best work together to achieve a common goal. And that's what makes it such a fascinating and powerful tool in the world of machine learning.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's about wraps it up for this deep dive into the world of ensemble learning. We've gone from the what to the why to the how, and hopefully you've gained some new insights into the power of diversity, the importance of independent errors, and even some practical strategies for building your own ensembles. Just remember, folks, in the world of machine learning, as in life, teamwork really does make the dream work. So until next time, keep those algorithms humming, and we'll see you on our next deep dive.